Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game.
97 RBIs for Ronald, sitting on 39 homers.
Hammer, deep left. And Acuna has Goddard. Number 40, a mammoth home run to make it 2-0.
All right, that's how the big weekend begins. And welcome to the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And it is going to be such a big weekend around Atlanta, full of baseball and soccer and college and NFL. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it got kickstarted last night. Morning to you, Hugh Douglas. What up?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? And, you know, Godspeed to all those that are going to storm Area 51 today. I couldn't make it. Because I had to work, I forgot to schedule this day off to join you. So all y'all get ready to go to Area 51 or, you know people that are going, Godspeed to all of you guys. I hope you get what you're looking for, and I hope you make it out safe.
Well, it's going to be a storm in Athens tomorrow, so I don't know that it's going to be the same people, but it's going to be unworldly, that's for sure. It's going to be a lot of fun this week. They could be storming the field tonight. Tonight, the Braves can clinch the NL East. Man of mercy. All right, now, it could be one of those weird situations, Hugh, where the Braves actually clinch the division because the magic number's down to 1 while they're still out on the field. You know, and it used to be, I wonder in the past if they could have kept that news from the team and the fans by, you know, like turning off the, think about back, you know, in the 90s when the Braves were winning the division all the time. You could kind of turn off the scoreboard if somebody else was going to lose. Now you can't because everybody's phone's going to blow up, you know, with a like yours, you know, the ESPN alert, you know, bump. Braves clinch the division if the Nationals lose and their game ends first. So the Braves could actually be standing out there on the field and raising their hands up. Let's hope it happens tonight. Going to be a lot of fun.
I don't know about all that, John. You gave me a lot to chew on when you threw that out there as far as the phones and all that stuff. I just think that, honestly, you're going to be in the moment. If it happens while you're playing, that's great. But you still got to take care of the business while you're out there on the field because you don't want to get hurt. That's how I kind of look at it.
Well, you know, just to win the division 2 days before they won the division last year and do it in front of their home fans, maybe a little later in the week than I had hoped. I was kind of hoping they'd do it yesterday because it would have been such a fun party at the Battery. But it's a Friday night. That means it's going to be a big party tonight.
That means you got to pace yourself because I'm pretty sure some of the folks that are going to be at the Battery, they're probably going to go to Athens tomorrow. Pretty sure a pretty good number of people are going to do that. I can think of one person who will probably be doing that. So you're going to have to really pace yourself in order not to be too burnt out before the game, you know, because then you got the tailgating going on and all the other good stuff. So it's going to be some fun festivities if that happens tonight, no question about it.
Yeah, Mike Foltynewicz is going to be pitching tonight. So the Braves can clinch in a couple of different ways. Washington's game starts a little bit before theirs. If Washington loses, they clinch. If they win, regardless of what Washington does, they clinch, and they'll be NL East champions. And, I mean, it's a done deal. We all understand that, but let's go ahead and have the party here. This is the last homestand of the season the last actually series of the season with the Giants in town today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And then the Braves are off on the road. And then they go to Kansas City, right? Is that right? I mean, someplace weird. Is it KC? Yeah, right? I'm just out of nowhere. I think Kansas City, it's just strange that at the end of the year. This like weird thing where all of a sudden they have to go to play the Kansas City Royals or something. And then they finish against the Mets. But now it's just all over for the Shouting, and we just wait to see who they're going to play. Certainly looks like the St. Louis Cardinals. That's not just the only thing, though, because they're saying the crowds in Athens tonight and tomorrow are going to be huge.
No, I believe that. I believe that. That's why, you know, me and Abe were sitting here this morning trying to figure out how are we going to navigate this, you know, because I know that they have some stuff going on out there tonight. You know, I think Bunky Pants and the crew are going to be out there today. So, we're going to get a little bit of a gauge of how the crowd is going to be. You know, Friday classes, I'm pretty sure there's probably going to be a whole lot of people not going to class. And then the people coming in, I'm thinking that there's going to be some Winnebago action. You know, some flights have just came in where people are going to Athens or staying in Atlanta, getting ready to make that trek to Athens. I don't know how that works. You're probably, like, I'm thinking, like, if you're coming in from out of town, you're probably going to catch the, you're probably going to come into Hartsfield and then probably stay in the city and then get up in the morning and come out to Athens. That's probably how it's going to work. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of people there. No question about that.
Well, the hotels in Athens are sold out. Athens police are saying a few things, Hugh. They're saying more people are going to be in Athens for a football game than ever before, okay? It's going to be as many people outside the stadium as inside. And so they're expecting 160,000 visitors into a town of, what, 130 or 140,000 people. So that's one thing to keep in mind. If you're going to the game tomorrow and you're just going to Athens tomorrow to be part of the, you know, the festivities and the color and the flair and whatnot, do know it's going to be extremely crowded. Parking is going to be very difficult. You want to get there early as you can, even though the game's at 8 o'clock. You're going to want to get there as early as possible because parking is going to be at a premium throughout town. You may have to walk a little bit, too, because it's going to be this first time since 1966 that two top 10 teams have played in Athens against each other in a non-conference game. It's been that long in a non-conference game. I mean, obviously, the SEC, you've had quite a few, but this is the first time in a non-conference game since 1966. So, and I still say the biggest non-conference game in Georgia history. It is going to be some kind of fun. But it's going to begin today, by the way, as Hugh mentioned, Andy and Randy 10 to 2, and then 2 to 7, Dukes and Bell. A couple other things here. And we have to do this kind of as a, you know, we just do this, counterfeiting warning from the police because they, you know, the tickets, what is the get-in price? Let me look that up.
But that did it change from yesterday? You said it was like $300-some, $390 or something like that you said the other day. Did it change?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just wondering if you saw 280 yesterday. Let's see what it says today on StubHub. Under StubHub, the get-in price.
Did I overinflate the price of the tickets just by a little bit?
Yeah, 310. Okay.
310, yeah, I inflated about 60, 70 bucks. That's still a lot for a ticket. That's still a lot for a college game, but still, it's a highly anticipated game. It's one that everybody's been talking about. The only thing that got me a little nervous is the fact that everybody just is a consensus that Notre Dame's probably going to catch this beatdown. That would make me a little nervous.
Yeah, conventional wisdom, there's something called, you know, fade the public, which is a betting term, which is when the line starts to really creep and it opened at 11 and it went up to 14.5 and it's going up still, that you bet against the public sentiment and conventional wisdom. I don't know, Hugh. This time, I'm not sure of it. I just think that Georgia is just – I look at this Georgia Bulldogs team and think that their offensive line is going to manhandle Notre Dame.
Yeah, but you don't want to overlook anybody. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. I think that's the thing that we're all kind of concerned about is that, you know, it's okay for us to sit here and think one thing, but you don't want the players to think that because when you start thinking that, you mess around and get in a situation where you get punched in the mouth and the first thing you know, Notre Dame's up 14-0 and you're fighting to try to get back in the game. You definitely don't want that to happen.
No, you don't. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be in Athens tomorrow, 9 to noon, ahead of college football game time. So Andy and Randy, 10 to 2, and Dukes and Bell, 2 to 7 today. Both shows are going to be from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at Grindhouse on Lumpkin in Athens. So if you're in the area, Andy, Randy, 10 to 2, Dukes and Bell, 2 to 7. Then tomorrow, if you're coming into Athens tomorrow, Hugh and I will be at Grindhouse from 9 a.m. to noon, and then college football game time with Goforth and Chuckery and McMichael, noon to 3. Also at Grindhouse in Athens, so do drop on by, say hi. We'll be on the second floor of Grindhouse broadcasting live all day from middays in Dukes and Bell today to us and college game time tomorrow.
I'm thinking it's going to be packed at 9 o'clock in the morning, though. I just had that feeling. It's going to be a little bit more juiced probably than it has been in the past when we've been up there. Yeah, it's going to be juiced.
Yeah, it's going to be, Athens is going to be jumping tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, that's the thing about that, you know, a big college game in a college town. There is almost no better atmosphere than a big college game in a college town because you have that small town feel and everything feels intimate and everybody's into it and the whole town is just jumping. It's a lot. It's pretty cool. So among the headlines today, again, Braves can clinch. We'll talk more about them in a moment. College football tonight, Utah-USC is a game you should probably keep an eye on.
Utah. I'm going to watch Utah. They're undefeated right now.
Yeah, number 10 in the nation. And Clay Helton under fire. That'll be at the LA Coliseum, by the way. Tonight, that's a 9 o'clock game. Thursday night football last night. Tennessee beats up on Jacksonville, your old team.
You ain't got to tell nobody that, John. Don't nobody care about Jacksonville.
Jacksonville beats up by Tennessee, pardon me.
That's not the team that I identify with. I mean, nobody's sitting there talking about, oh, Hugh played for Jacksonville. Ain't nobody doing that. Not on this morning show. Yeah, nobody doing none of that either. Jaguars great. No, not at all. Not at all. I tell you what, Gardner Minshew played better than people thought he would play, though. He did do that. And I saw his dad in the stands. His dad's an animated individual. Like, he was all up into the game. But like I say about quarterbacks, you give them four games. It's one of the easiest things to do in the NFL is play quarterback when nobody knows anything about you. Well, I would think one would think. But when they get that four-game stretch on you, then that's when it tends to get real a little bit. So he had a good outing. Good for them. They needed that. They needed that off the controversy that they had all week. They needed that.
Yeah, they were Saxonville last night with 9 sacks in the game, harassing Tennessee, and they beat the Titans 20-7 in this game. And so we'll certainly both teams, by the way, 1-2 on the season, two teams that we will see in the next couple of weeks because, you know, we already saw Jacksonville the preseason, but we'll see them later in the year. We'll see the Tennessee Titans next week at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They're going to be coming into town, so we'll see. They'll get this little extra rest here and try and see if they can figure it out. It's a team that's struggling right now. But we all lead up to Sunday, the Falcons and the Colts on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll look ahead to the game. We'll be talking about every angle of this game, the keys to the game as well, and we get ready for what we hope, Hugh, is going to be you know, maybe the start of a run. Maybe this Eagles game will kickstart the Falcons, and maybe we'll get on a little early run. That'd be a good thing, that's for sure. The team certainly seems to be in high spirits, I'll tell you that much. Which, of course, you'd figure that, right? I mean, they'd be, you know, coming off that game on a pretty big high. You know, they were jumping around and having fun and playing ping pong yesterday.
Yeah, they're excited. You know, I saw some of the video of them dancing in the locker room after the win. I mean, that's a great win for them, no question about that. But you got to keep it going now. You know, you went out there and you beat up the bully. Now you got another bully you got to go see. Go take their lunch money. So you just got to keep it going. That's the biggest thing.
We told you a lot of big events. Another event you want to keep your eye on is on our website at 929thegame.com under the events tab. That's the Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament. It's next Wednesday at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. We want you to come out and bowl with us, you know, with you and I and all the shows. And it's a tournament, but it's kind of a low-key thing. A lot of celebrities are going to be there, and you can be part of it. Just go to the webpage at 929thegame.com under our events tab. Mention the Braves. Ronald Acuna has run towards 40-40, got 140 yesterday, and the manager noted he's in rare company doing it as young as he did.
That's crazy. It's crazy with the year the kid's had. And like I said, he's not a finished product yet. He's gonna get better. You know, he's things still to work on, and with a talent like that, you know, he stays grounded and headed in the right direction, and the sky's the limit.
Riley drives that ball to deep right. That ball is carrying, and that ball's a line drive homer. If he starts doing that, look out. That's Austin Riley's first homer since August 2nd. On the ground, Freddie's there, race to the bag. The magic number is 1. So all the Braves have to do tomorrow against the Giants is win, and the East is theirs for the second straight year.
Chip Carey on Fox Sports South last night, setting up the table for tonight at SunTrust Park as the San Francisco Giants come to town. Mike Foltynewicz going to try and slam the door shut. He was the pitcher of record last year when the Braves clinched on September, what was it, the 22nd last year, I think. Yeah, so it would be 2 days earlier this season. Braves and Giants tonight with Foldy on the hill as the Braves try to lock down the NL East, and all those things are still in play. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. That we talked about earlier, you know, whether or not you're going to get to 100 wins. It's certainly now 40-40 for Acuna with the 40th home run last night. As Chip Carey said also, Hugh, Austin Riley getting that home run last night. If he heats up, look out.
Yeah, you're talking about he got his 18th home run of the season. That's great, man. I tell you what, being that we're coming down to the wire of the season and having guys come up and contribute like that, that's a great sign. That's a great sign that you might be in for a special season.
Well, you know, and then you got to think that Riley's going to get some run here in the last few games, because one of the things that Brian Snicker is going to have to do is he's going to have to manage the you know, the rest and rust thing that you talk about, Hugh. He's going to have to manage the lineup in the right way. You want to get some of your guys, because the Braves have three guys in Ozzie Albies, Freddie Freeman, and Ronald Acuna, who have played virtually every game this year. I think those three are tied for the most games played in the National League. So you want to get them a chance to rest, but at the same time, you don't want them to go cold sitting on the bench. And, of course, with Acuna, you've got to figure out a way to get him in the lineup or at least get him into the game, maybe pinch running, where he's going to have a shot at 40-40.
I think that probably makes a little bit of sense now. You know, he got his 40th home run. Maybe give him a pinch runner roll, just a little bit. Just to see, you know, just get him, still have him out there, but try to get him as much rest as you possibly can.
Yeah, that 40th home run last night, there was kind of a great stat. He becomes the one of the three players in the history of Major League Baseball under the age of 22 to hit 40 home runs. The other two are in the Hall of Fame. One was the great third baseman Eddie Mathews from the old Milwaukee Braves, who had a cup of coffee in Atlanta when the team moved here, and then Mel Ott. So Mel Ott of the New York Giants and Eddie Mathews of the Braves, the only other two that hit 40 home runs before the age of 22. Now, I guess, Hugh, you could argue, well, that wasn't exactly in the live ball era, and they only played 154 games and everything else you want to kind of argue, but still quite an accomplishment for Ronald Acuna.
Yeah, no question about that. I mean, you're talking about as long as how long he's been up and what he's been able to accomplish in a short period of time. I mean, regardless, man, of live ball era or not, that is still a huge accomplishment in baseball to be a part of that illustrious club.
Yeah, it is the Braves and Giants tonight. Talking about some of the numbers, Brian Snicker, the manager of the Braves, reacting to Ronald Acuna.
When he hit it, I told Seitz, it's like, man, you know, he might relax now and really go off. Just get that out of the way. It's got a weigh on you, and as hard as you don't want it to be, it is. I'm sure every time he rolled over at night, when he wake up, that's probably all he's thinking about. So I'm happy for him. That's an unbelievable accomplishment at this stage of his career. Hopefully he exhales a little bit, and you never know. He might just go off.
Yeah. Now he needs just three bases, three stolen bases, being the 40-40. That'll be what's up. That's what's up.
Yeah, I mean, we almost hate to see we'd love to see Ronald Acuna, as Brian Snicker say, go off. I mean, compared to what? I mean, the guy's going to end up 40-40, 100 RBIs. I mean, if that's not – normally that will win you an MVP. Normally that kind of a season will win you an MVP. Just this year, there are a lot of guys putting up big numbers. He'll still be, I would think, top five, but he's not even going to get the most votes. See, that's how great the season's been, Hugh. He's going to have 40-40 and 100 RBIs, and he won't even be the highest vote getter in the MVP on his
own. It's a lot of people been hitting home runs this year. I think this is the most they've hit in the history of baseball. This mm-hmm. was the year. And I saw something. I wish I could find that picture. They had this spray chart of all the home runs that have been hit this year, mm-hmm. and they put it like in a colored chart or whatever. It looked pretty cool. Like the spray chart is like all over the place. It's pretty phenomenal.
Well, one of the good things about it, and by the way, that was not a cheap Acuna home run last night. He hit it 432 feet into the second deck and left. He got every inch of that thing. Meantime, they pulled Brian Snicker yesterday. He pulled Mike Soroka after five innings. The bullpen, Luke Jackson and Shane Green both gave up a run, but for the most part, the bullpen was able to get it done, and Melanson was able to close the game out. But he pulled him after five innings and saying, look, I'm just trying to limit the stress that he's under, you know, before he goes into the playoffs. And so I think you're really going to see him manage that. We talk about the lineup a lot of times, but really manage that rotation right now.
Yeah, I think he's – right now, John, what he's trying to get guys rested but still keep them kind of sharp because you're talking about five innings and two-run effort, you know, for Soroka. So, yeah, that's where you're at right now. You're thinking about, you know, you got, what, eight games left in the season. But also, you're thinking about the playoffs. You're thinking about how you're going to get your team ready for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And you got to start resting guys. You got to start getting guys ready for that grind.
Right. So you're going to do that and get guys rested. So one of the things you could do, Hugh, is, you know, you've got other guys that could start on your staff now without even having to bring guys up. I mean, you could bring somebody up to start a game. A Bryce Wilson, for example, could start a game. Sean Newcomb could start a game. Josh Tomlin is a former starter. So you can get your starters. And once you clinch after today with those whatever games right that you're talking about, maybe your starters pitch once more, and if they do, you limit them to about – it's almost like spring training in reverse. Maybe you throw them out there for three or four innings and then take them out of the game, you know, kind of thing. Because you got to, you know, make sure that they have a good 5 days of rest before the opener, I would think.
That's what you hope for. Yeah, that's what you're shooting for. You know, and then you got San Fran coming in. You know, they're not – they're like, what, five games below 500? excuse me. So that should be – I mean, you should feel confident, pretty confident tonight is going to be the night that you get a chance to clinch, that you do clinch.
Yeah, if you have tickets tonight, I kind of envy you. It's
going to be a party at the Battery.
Yeah, I've got another event I've got to go to. I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be phone watching.
And then we get to see what happens to the people that have stormed Area 1. Did anybody get hurt or did anybody come out with some good stuff from Area 51? If they're going to do it still? I don't know. It's supposed to be like going on as we speak. Is it supposed to be happening right now? So we might be getting some reports if somebody actually did it. I wonder if anybody was actually bold enough to go out to Area 51 and try to make that happen. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah, I think the Air Force said, you guys can party out in the desert, but don't you be storming our gates here.
Oh, no, they told them. They said you will be met with force. But, you know, somebody's going to say, oh, no, they're not going to do it. Somebody's going to storm it. Somebody's going to try to storm Area 51.
Yeah, and somebody will try to climb the right. Because somebody will get a little too drunky. They'll try and climb the fence. And I assume there's a fence around it. I say that, and I don't know. I guess I assume that there is because you would think that people have tried to get in there before. So, I think it's just a top secret weapons depot, right? I think that's what it is, actually, correct?
I don't know, John. I've never been to Area 51. I mean, from all the stories in the movies that I've seen, Area 51 is the place where they house all the alien technology. But who knows if that's true or not? Abe's over there shaking his head. Abe, you don't know. You don't know.
We don't know, but we do.
I just remember just like 10 years ago, we didn't have we didn't have, what was it called? GPS. Now we got it down to it's within inches of being in the right spot as far as that navigation is concerned. So where did that come from, Abe? The aliens. I rest my case. We haven't had GPS for 30 years. It's been 30 years. Forget you, Abe. You knew what I meant. Don't laugh at that, Orin. Orin, that's not funny. Don't laugh at that. Don't laugh at Abe jokes. Don't laugh at that. Don't laugh at that.
He's not wrong, though. The blue dot is a little freaky. It does freak me out when you realize that it can follow you around your house. Have you ever done that? You ever pull out your blue and then gone down? Yeah, it'll follow you around your house. No switch. That's because the cops will do that. You know, that's how the cops will get, tap your phone and, what room's he in, right? It'll follow you around your house. Yeah, no. I've never been out to Area 51, so you are correct. I do not know. I can't confirm or deny what exactly is out there. But I don't know. I'm one of those. I got to tell you, I'm a little bit cynical and skeptical.
I can see that. I can hear that in your voice on a day-to-day basis, John Freaking. Yeah, cynical and skeptical. Yeah, yeah, I know.
A little bit, just a little bit. It's the old news guy in me. I got to get, prove it to me, and then I'll go with it, kind of thing. Now the Braves can prove it tonight. Mike Foltynewicz on the mound. Can they lock it down against the San Francisco Giants? Remember, they can clinch. Washington starts at 7:10 against the Marlins, and if the Marlins beat Washington, I'm not saying they will, but if they do, the Braves could clinch kind of before they get done with their own game. You can join Paul Crane and Harry Douglas in the 92.9 The Game. J.R. Crickets at College Park off Main Street starting at 11 a.m. on Sunday. Bud Light countdown to kickoff ahead of the Falcons and Colts. That's J.R. Crickets at College Park off Main Street Sunday at 11 a.m. with Harry Douglas and Paul Crane. When we get back, we do something called the Morning Menu every day, and that is where Abe, the producer, asks us three questions that we don't know, and you're going to find out what they are, too. We'll do that next on this Friday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
There's a three-course meal headed your way. This is the Morning Menu on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's three questions that Abe, the producer, comes up with. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh, and we don't know what they are. And then, of course, he always posts them up to our Twitter, at 92.9 The Game, after we do this. So he hits us with usually one question. Where are we going? So what do you got today?
Probably one of those. Yeah. Interesting. We're on the look. The Braves are on the precipice here of doing something real cool in the city. Is another NL East trophy, another pennant, head to the playoffs.
That's a
T-shirt,
I hope it happens tonight.
Not
that's not a trophy though. That's like a T-shirt type situation.
What? Like a pen, well, NL East
that's
pennant?
That's a hat, right? That's a T-shirt and a hat.
Triangle pennant. You seen a pennant?
Yeah. Oh, you talking about that you hang up on your wall?
Yeah.
That's not. It's not a trophy, though. That's not.
Well, it's not a trophy in the terms of it's medal to, and it's a statue.
It's akin to winning the AFC South.
You don't
or
have
the NFC
to
South.
Have like a figurine for it to be a trophy.
It's
there are
akin
other trophies.
To being an NFC
a championship
South champion.
Belt is a trophy.
No, I'm just saying it's akin to being an NFC South champion, right? It's about the same thing.
it's a little different. Yeah.
How is it a little different?
Are we going to argue in football?
You know what? We can argue. We ain't got to argue this because I know you argue this all day.
That's not the question.
Get to the point. Get to your question.
As we look back at the Braves who are about to clinch and we'll head to the playoffs, what's been the most memorable moment to you, for you this season?
For me, I would say just Josh Donaldson doing what he does, like being. I don't want to say arrogant because arrogance sounds – that's a negative. But just being confident
being
in his
himself.
Ability. Yeah, being
himself.
Confident in his ability. Say, yeah, Josh Donaldson.
That's a good question. You're talking about one specific incident, one specific play or something?
If you would like. There's a couple things. If you want to talk about, you know – Austin Riley coming up and how hot he was.
That was the first thing I thought
of. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I thought, Riley's run there when he first showed up was something. I also thought that, the day that they made the move for all the relievers when Alex Anthopoulos.
You know what? Yeah, I didn't think about that. But the trade deadline.
Yeah,
sure.
The trade deadline with Melanson and Green and Martin and everything happening. So, to me, because I think you'll look back at that being the moment that the Braves may have won the East.
A couple things jump out to me before I get to the one that I actually think stood. The double slide 2 weeks ago is something
right.
I'll probably remember for a little while.
Yeah.
There have been some grand slams, some walk-offs that I'll remember. Some of Acuna's defensive gems out there I'll remember. But to me, the moment that has kind of encapsulated the entire season was Ortega's grand slam against the Dodgers. For me, it was a guy who'd been thrust into a situation, had to step up, and did. If you remember, that was the game that Acuna was benched for not running out and all that stuff. And so for Ortega to, in that situation, do what Riley had done, do what Duvall had done, do what whoever else it had been when Markakis got hurt or when Ender got hurt or when Dansby went down, and Joyce and Culberson and Camargo, whoever it was, that kind of encapsulated the season for me. So, that's one of the moments I'll remember is that grand slam against the Dodgers. One, because of what it was, also because of what it represented, but also because, hey, that was a big statement against the team you may see in the NLCS. So that's one of the moments for me. But I'm interested to see what the listeners say. What they pull up that maybe I had forgotten about that they remember. So it'll be interesting.
That's a pretty
good
one, though, eh? Way to think. Way to
Thank
think that one through.
Much.
Since you got all the questions and you got time to think about your
answers. That's
right.
But that's all right.
That's what I was saying.
We may have seen a hint towards this next question last night here on the morning menu. Second of three questions headed your way. Which 0-2 team in the NFL has the best chance to recover and make the playoffs? That's between the Panthers, the Bengals, the Broncos, last night's Jaguars, the Dolphins, the Giants, Jets, Steelers, or Redskins? Which team that started 0-2, 11% of teams that go 0-2 recover to make the playoffs. Which team of that group do you think can make it this year? Panthers, Bengals, Broncos, Jaguars, Dolphins, Giants, Jets, Steelers,
Damn.
Or Redskins?
Wow. Yeah, because none of them look good right now.
That's a hard one. That is a hard one.
The Dolphins are out. The Bengals are probably out. The Giants and Jets are out. Redskins are out. Broncos out.
I'd probably say Jacksonville.
Just to narrow it down, you've left now the Panthers, the Jaguars, and the Steelers.
I'd probably say the Jaguars.
I guess the Jaguars, because the AFC South is winnable. I guess.
Well, I think that part of it is the AFC South. Look, if our boys here in Atlanta go to Indianapolis and beat them, they fall to 1-2. Jacksonville's now 1-2.
Yeah, 9-7 will win that.
Houston
division.
Is not that good. I thought they'd be a little better. They don't look that good. And the Titans are 1-2. So I think they're and then maybe the Steelers. We'll see.
How good
I
is your
division?
I don't
buy into Mason Rudolph.
And you've got the Ravens and you've got the Browns. And I just think the AFC South winner could be.
Yeah, well, and this goes into what I said the other day. I really like Gardner Minshew. There's something about him that does it for me, and we saw that last night. And he got a good win, good win there. So okay, on to the final question here. Your dessert round on the morning menu. Hugh Douglas, John Fricke, what are your three favorite TV channels?
Three favorite TV channels. Come on now, I would say SportsCenter's one.
So ESPN.
SportsCenter. Fire Stick.
Well, these aren't. That's not a channel.
That's the channel in my world because that's the only one I really watch local TV is like SportsCenter. So it has to be. If they're asking me this question.
SportsCenter's not a channel either.
It is a channel in my world.
It's ESPN.
And the Fire Stick.
What do you watch on Fire Stick?
Everything. Like right now, I'm watching Stargate SG-1.
So you're doing like Amazon Prime Netflix things.
Yes. Why you just dismiss me? You asked me questions. That's the question.
Well, but that's like me asking you what's your favorite color
okay,
and you saying three.
Okay, ESPN.
Three is a number,
not,
red and blue
is,
or
is
a color.
That is not the same thing. Okay, well, okay, how would you answer the question? You don't even watch TV. What are your favorite
TV? I don't watch TV. I got four TVs. How do I not watch TV?
You just watch sports. So how do you have a favorite channel if you're just watching sports?
Not all four TVs are always on sports.
My favorite channel is
ESPN.
Okay, so you just said it wasn't a channel when I said it.
No, you said SportsCenter, bro.
It's still a channel.
No, SportsCenter.
Okay, fine, A.
SportsCenter and ESPN are not the same things, right?
Fine, A. You understand this? What are your other two? Spit it out.
ESPN. Probably Comedy Central and Turner Classic Movies. Those are my three.
That's terrible. That's just a terrible
list. At least they're channels, Hugh.
That's a terrible list. That's a terrible list. Hulu is a channel? It's a channel with a bunch of different TVs. It's not because I don't really watch. Only thing I really watch on regular TV is ESPN. That's it.
Yeah.
And then I watch the Fire Stick because they have all like the bootleg movies on. I think
John, your favorite channels?
All right, my favorite channels are the ones I get to watch.
Oh, boy.
He ain't allowed to watch TV.
My favorite channels easily, AMC, Discovery, History, Nat Geo. I got to pick three of them. All right, Discovery, History, and Nat Geo.
Food Network, anyone going with Food Network? Cooking Channel?
We watch a lot of the Food Network.
Home Shopping?
No, not Home Shopping, but we watch a lot of the Food Network. We watch a lot of the Cooking Channel.
I used to watch a lot of Food Network.
You notice how you say you what you like to watch, and he say we because he ain't really got no choices to watch.
No, I know he doesn't even he does he hasn't.
He's not
the only time
TV
John Fricke has the remote in his hands is changing batteries.
Oh no! Or when he's giving
the only
it to
time
his wife.
He ever touches the remote is to change the batteries.
Or when he's giving it to his wife.
Yeah, when she asks, "Hey, can you hand it to?"
What you watching? No, she'll come in the room and say, "What were you watching on TV?" Because I'm about to turn it.
or tomorrow. I mean, on a football Saturday or Sunday, I get the remote.
Football Saturday instead of either.
What were you about? What were you watching on TV? We about to turn it. That ain't right.
All right, real quick, trivia, little quiz for you, Hugh.
What you got?
Which is a channel, ESPN or SportsCenter?
Really? That's what you're doing? That's what you gonna do today? Get out of here! That's why your mic's off.
All right, Abe's gonna ask you these questions. You can answer them yourself. If your favorite channel happens to be SportsCenter, you can say that too, I guess. That'll be on our Twitter at 929 The Game. Hey, a Falcons player through two games has a ridiculous stat attached to him. What is that stat and who is it? We'll tell you next. With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com.